interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive. From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. Where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Oh, there's a lot of material for you tonight, and why don't we begin not too far away from where I am broadcasting here in North Carolina. Let's go to the town of Winder, Georgia. There, a woman called 911 to tell them she was very upset. Because when she had recently been arrested, she did not like her photograph that was posted as a mugshot in a periodical called Bad and Busted. And so they informed her that was no problem at all. They would be more than happy to take a new photograph of her because she had now violated the 911 system. And so they arrested her once again. And congratulations, dummy. You got your new updated 911 mugshot picture. Oh, what a world we live in. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, that's ironic you bring that story up. I spent a lot of time in Winder, Georgia as a kid.
Really?
That's where my grandparents lived.
Now, what kind of town is it? Is it a small place, I imagine?
Small... Big city, small, big town, small city.
Okay.
I mean,
small town values. Where exactly is this located?
It's about 50 miles outside of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously.
In Barrow County.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty populated area then, you know, close to Atlanta. Crazy things happen down there all the time. And, you know, here it is 2012. It's summertime. It's hot as hell. People are agitated. They're irritable. I've often felt that some of the most crazy, violent places are really, really hot places, like in the Middle East, you know, where people just do things on a personal, small, barbaric level.
Their brains are fried.
Yeah, yeah. Phoenix, Arizona. You know, I've had experiences there. You know, I got kicked out of a bar there one time, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything. They said I instigated a fight. But, you know, freedom of speech.
How much had you had to drink?
Well, I still was in perfect control of my faculties. It was the guy I was talking to who was so inspired by what I told him. Something along the lines of, you see that guy flirting with your girlfriend? I'd take off my shirt and go kick his ass if I were you. And he said, that's a great idea. So somehow I was grouped in with that. But, you know, have you ever been in a bar fight scenario in any way, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop?
Not in a bar fight.
Yeah. Well, that's what some other types of fights.
Yes.
Well, like in a public place, though. We've all been in scuffles in our lives, but.
Yes.
Yeah? What was it a restaurant or can you tell us?
I'm trying to remember, actually. I'm kind of a no-nonsense kind of girl, and when something really is bad, I jump in.
I went one time to the, I think it's the Bellagio restaurant there in Woodfin, right?
Right.
And
I remember that.
Were you there that night, or you know the story?
I know the story.
Yeah. I know the story, too.
Yeah, a friend of ours had just graduated from college, and her family had come into town, and she invited me and Lauren to come over, and it was a nice, big, traditional kind of family-oriented situation. And I looked over, and there was this rather hefty man talking to a rather hefty woman sitting nearby. And it was clear they were having some kind of an intense conversation. And about 15 or 20 minutes into it, here comes a third hefty woman walking in. And she went storming right up to the table, and it became quickly apparent this was some kind of a love triangle. Next thing I knew, and this table was directly beside where I was sitting, because I was sitting on the end of the table formation of my group. These two big girls, they just started duking it out like heavyweights. I mean, right there, the first thing that happened was their table flipped, food and crap went all over the place, and I immediately got out of that situation. Now, there was no way I was going to get between those two women. And, you know, the guy's trying to break it up, everybody in the restaurant's freaking out, but nobody else wants to be involved with this, you know. So finally, the manager starts screaming, go outside, and then the women kind of took it outside, and I don't know what happened. But it's weird when stuff like that occurs. It's very strange. But people do. They get violent when it's really, really hot, uncomfortable. In fact, I'll touch on something just briefly here. Some people have wondered, why that we haven't talked more about this Batman massacre, this Joker killing. And if you've listened to this show for a long time, you'll know that we intentionally try not to talk so much about the things that everybody else is talking about. And that's no reflection of all regarding how we feel about these terrible things when they happen. It's just that I don't have anything more that I can offer about the tragedy of that horrible event that you already haven't been exposed to everywhere else in the media. There's only so much you can say about, you know, the insanity of something like that. But since doing the last show, I did go watch the new Batman movie. Have you seen it, Forrest?
I have.
Okay. Now, Shelley, you have not, right?
Not yet.
So, and Forrest, wouldn't you say, honestly, sitting there in the theater, you can't help but imagine what it was like for those people. And it added an extra layer of creepiness, didn't it?
It did. About 10 minutes in, we got there about 10 minutes before the movie started, and about 10 minutes after the movie started, I just sat there and was like, well, just imagine if some guy just comes right through this door with a canister and,
right,
and starts doing this.
The confusion of it all.
Yeah.
But as far as the movie's concerned, I think I'd feel comfortable giving it about 3 out of 5 stars. How about you?
I think it was better than the last one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think the first one of the series was the best.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I thought the second one sucked.
Yeah, it was way too long. And
way too much Joker, way too much Brokeback Mountain guy, Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, yes.
Yeah, I mean, because honestly, you know, if he would not have had died post-production or mid-production of this, I don't think the Academy Awards people would even have looked at that movie as Oscar value.
Well, how insensitive, Forrest. I'm shocked. But you know what? In this movie, there was one point that was my favorite part of the movie. And the one movie, well, you see a movie like that because it's huge, big, grand scale. I was disappointed it wasn't in 3D.
The director said he did not want to do
that. Yeah, that was his creative elitism or whatever, but fine. I like that scene when Batman first appears in this movie, and he is just roaring down the highway on that motorcycle, and all the cops are after him.
Right.
I thought that was like the most exciting, exhilarating kind of thing, because
Batman has returned.
Yeah, it's hard to pull off a shot like that, because you can tell they're in real streets. I think they shot that one in Los Angeles. And can you imagine, you know, all it takes to block off all the streets and get all these actors and all these stuntmen? I mean, it's just amazing. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars to make movies like that. And but anyway, so that said, here's what we're going to talk about tonight. I keep bringing up on this program just how overwhelming the news of weird, bizarre, extraordinary, crazy stuff is. And, you know, it's like every time I do one of these shows, I feel like we just need hours and hours more. We've had great guests over the past two shows, but tonight we're not going to have a guest. You know, I don't do guests that often anyway anymore. And we're just going to, you know, focus on getting through the pile of weird news, and of course culminating in the dark 30 hours. So there's not a particular theme. Maybe a theme will emerge as we go on here. It often seems to work out that way. But, you know, one way you can tell that things are getting crazy is when the animals start acting weird as well. And obviously, you know, we have been talking about animal stuff since the early part of this year, all the strange animal stuff. And I saw this story here from Pittsburgh. At a major mall, people were shocked to turn around and find standing there in the middle of the aisle in Sears a large black bear. And this black bear had just, you know, sauntered up to the automated doors. They open, and the black bear just comes moseying in there, walking around Sears. Of course, people are freaking out. Again, one of those things where you can't believe you're seeing this at first, and then probably a lot of terrifying thoughts run through your mind, and you just get the heck out of there. Wildlife officials, they came, tranquilized the bear, carried it out, and they said they weren't certain exactly where it came from, and then 45 minutes later, a second bear shows up at the same place. This time, however, they were able to engage the bear near in the parking lot area before it got into the mall. There was an Olive Garden right there, and they got him in the parking lot. And but that bear, for whatever reason, they weren't able to capture. So right now, you know, people are keeping a lookout in Fraser, Pittsburgh, because bears are going to the mall now. It's like the Berenstain Bears. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a lot more crazy stuff going on to tell you about. In fact, if you haven't heard about this, you know, I'm going to be in Scotland next year in Edinburgh, and the University of Edinburgh is now offering a course that you can take online about aliens. I'll explain when I return. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight. Thanks for spending your evening with us. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. It's Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And keep in mind, if you are listening online during the broadcast here on Saturday night, as opposed to a podcast, go to speakingofstrange.com, and you'll find a live chat there you could participate in during the program, links to other stuff that we talk about, things that are relevant. You'll find a link to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, created by yours truly, the original and oldest ghost tours in Asheville. The evenings are just beautiful downtown this time of year, especially when the sun is setting and you have that nice purplish, pinkish sky. It looks like every postcard that you've seen of Asheville, with the blue mountains, a striking silhouette in the foreground. It's just a great time. And hauntedasheville.com gives you all the details. Also keep in mind that, for Belle Share, we are running a special because the downtown area gets congested. So $2 off if you take a tour anytime this weekend. Just go to hauntedasheville.com, contact us, and if you do the Biltmore Village tour, you'll get your $2 discount, and that'll take you out of the hustle and bustle of Belle Share. Great time for locals to check that out. So, yeah, you know, Shelley, I saw a copy of the Daily Planet online.
Yes.
And there was an article about the Dracula trip.
Yes.
Did you tell me about that? Because I didn't even know that that was out there.
I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I'm friends with the publisher, and I told him a little bit about it. And
it was a good piece. And were you going to say something else?
No. Okay.
Well, you know, there's a picture there of you with Patricia.
Right.
Demented Patty.
Right.
It's in print now. It's official.
Yes.
And Andrea Carter.
I cannot remember her last name.
Just Andrea the Canadian.
That's what everybody called her. She was great, Andrea the Canadian.
Well, you know, it's a really good piece, and we'll see if we can link that up for everybody. But Andrea, she contacted me, and she is actually taking this course that I was talking about before the break. In Edinburgh, Scotland, where I, again, am supposed to be speaking next year at a conference, more details on that in the future, at the Edinburgh University, there are online courses that are being produced. It's like a 5-week course that you can take online as long as you are accepted into the course. And it's a real course. I mean, you get live instruction, and at the end of the course, you get a certificate saying that you've completed a course from the Edinburgh University. They have a few they're offering, but the one that's getting the most attention is called Astrobiology and the Search for Extraterrestrial Life. Astrobiology and the Search for Extraterrestrial Life. And, Shelley, do you know how much it costs to take this online course?
No, how much? I'm afraid to ask.
It's free.
Free? Sign me up!
I figured you would say that. I would like to do it as well, but I forget when it's going to take place, and I am a little bit concerned about my shooting schedule for TV, and it limits how much I can plan ahead, and I'd hate to get involved with something like this and then have to cancel out, but I'm still tempted to do it. But anyway, just do a search, and you'll be able to find it. We'll put a link on the website. Obviously, our Facebook page has a link. But it says now you can be a professional alien hunter. That's what the headline says. But it's a very scholarly, academic course, they say. So I don't know if you could pass that, Shelley.
I can
might be
do
too much for
anything.
You.
I am an advanced student.
This is Edinburgh University. It
yeah.
might be a lot of terminology, a lot of arithmetic.
I bet I would make a higher grade than you.
Well, maybe we will have to take a bet.
Just put some money on the table right now.
I say just give me the final test right now, and let me see if I can pass it without even taking the course. And then give me my certificate. How's that for arrogant?
Well, that would certainly work with your shooting schedule.
Well, it's incredible what advances are being made now in science. In fact, if you haven't seen this, very weird, almost kind of spooky video. Scientists at Harvard have created the first ever, I guess you would say, artificial hyphen organic jellyfish. And basically what they did was they took silicone and they put it into a sort of a mold, so it looks like a thin amoebic like form with about 8 appendages. And then they took cells from the heart of a rat and they sort of printed those cells into this silicone form. And once everything set properly, they put it in a fluid solution and then just started shocking it, Dr. Frankenstein style. And then all of a sudden, sure enough, it's alive, it's alive. This thing, and right now I'm holding up my hand, it looks like it, if you imagine my hand all of a sudden forming a fist that thrusts in the air, okay? That's what it looks like, which is how a jellyfish moves. It's like a heart that pumps. And they say this thing has some kind of awareness. Does it have a soul?
Well, that's the thing. When you do the Dr. Frankenstein thing, you don't know what you've made.
No. You know, I tend to believe, and I was talking to a friend about this recently, I tend to think that everything has a soul. And the reason is, even rocks and tables and trees, the reason is because we're all made out of the same stuff. We think that we're high and mighty because, hey, we're us, right? But, and maybe we have self-awareness, but how do we know that a rock isn't self-aware? It's moving. When you look at it on a small scale, it's vibrating. I'm not sure how you make that distinction. I know that for practical purposes we have to make that distinction, but if you want to get technical about it, you know, there was a bunch of particles blast out star matter, and supposedly we're all part of the same big collective group of particles, right? You look like you have a problem with that theory, Shelley.
What, with a rock having a soul?
Yeah,
kind of. Uh-huh.
See, never passed the Edinburgh.
But then again,
course.
You know, there just are people. There are people that you would swear are soulless. So.
Well, you might be right about that.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got some images, if you guys haven't seen this yet, at joshuapwarren.com. This August is going to mark 4 years since this really intriguing apparitional ghostly figure was captured by security cameras at Asheville High School here in Asheville, North Carolina. Do you remember seeing that for us?
You were in Puerto Rico at the time.
Exactly. Yep, because WLOS contacted me and they wanted to get my commentary, and I was like, oh, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I'm in Puerto Rico. But if you've never seen this, go to joshuapwarren.com. I have a video there because this got national attention. And you can see the CNN news segment. There's also a link to the one our local news, News 13, did. And I went through and I want to re-examine this footage because I have not yet had the opportunity to go in and investigate the location. Hopefully I'll be able to do that. It didn't work out with my travel schedule in the past. But anyway, I have pulled some frames out of this video and enhanced them and pointed out more exactly what people are talking about, because you could say that it looks like the shape of a kid with a clear head and shoulders and body sort of appears in a doorway and takes a couple steps forward, and then all of a sudden it disappears for like, I think it might be like 20 seconds or something, and then it reappears in a doorway. And here's the thing that freaks out everybody. The second time, it looks a little more like a misty form, but when it moves by the doorway, it appears to be casting a shadow. And the question is, if this is some insect on the lens or some bat flying around, why is it casting a shadow that looks like it's standing in the doorway? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And I also have this story we're going to get to about the Goat Man. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, in the studio with producer Forrest Connor, investigator Shelley Wright, and we're just doing our best to get just a little bit caught up on all this weird news. It's like everything that we can't get around to from the previous week just ends up in the pile behind the new stuff. And I noticed that the pile in the back is just getting bigger and bigger. So we'll just sit around and you know, talk about it. We got 3 hours here on the radio. We'll see how far we get. By the way, I mentioned on a previous show, I guess it was last week's show, that if you would like to, while you can, get one of these beautiful silver Dracula pendants. Shelley has hers on again tonight, as a matter of fact. It's really just it's a fantastic, striking piece, and the story behind it is just perfect. You can see a picture of it if you go to tuckersfinejewelry.com. Again, this was crafted by Justin and his team there at Tucker's Fine Jewelry. Justin and Sonia, they came on the expedition to Transylvania and were so inspired, they created this piece of jewelry after the official Dracula crest, I guess you'd say. And it's a dragon, which, by the way, this also, 2012, is, of course, the year of the dragon. I think it's even year of the fire dragon. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Because I was born in a year of the fire dragon, and you and I were born the same year, right, Forrest?
Sure.
So we won't tell everybody how old we are. But that you can buy us a nice gift whenever you want. So tuckersfinejewelry.com. Go check that out. And that brings me to a question for you, Shelley Wright. Okay, I was talking about how I have this picture on my website, which shows what some believe is a ghost at Asheville High School casting a shadow on the floor that is inconsistent with something more conventional like a bug or a bat. If that is, in fact, what we're looking at, and it's funny that this whole thing comes up now, because recently I've been talking with our friend Brad Farrell about this subject, because he is investigating another picture, I think the picture that Richard Liebeck's group provided me with, that's also on my website. We've been having that conversation anyway. I have always thought that most of the time ghosts don't cast shadows, but it's certainly possible that they could, especially if they are a plasma. Because plasmas can cast shadows, but the darkness of the shadow depends on the thickness of the plasma, which is a variable thing. But you, Shelley Wright, you have seen ghosts.
Right.
At full-bodied apparitions.
Right.
In Transylvania, you had something attacking you in your room. Do you recall if the ghosts that you have seen cast shadows?
I don't believe that any of the ghosts that I have ever seen have cast shadows. I never noticed that they did. I'm not saying they can't. I think it is possible, but I don't think the ones I saw did.
Mm-hmm. And that would be something that you probably wouldn't even take time to notice.
Probably not.
When you're seeing a ghost, do you know that you're seeing a ghost at first?
Usually I do, but sometimes they are so solid looking that I really don't know at first.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever seen a goat man?
That I have never seen.
How would you know?
How would I know?
Maybe you just thought it was a goat.
Hmm.
And that's the problem, actually. That's the problem with this story. Because right now, in the mountains of northern Utah, there is a guy running around with herds of wild goats, and he is dressed in a goat suit. I don't know if he's trying to mate with them. It is mating season, I imagine. That is one explanation. I don't know why that's an explanation, but why not? And the problem here is hunters. I mean, if you go running around with a herd of wild goats and you're dressed as a wild goat, apparently you can be shot by a hunter. That's always a dangerous thing to do.
Well, so what? He's on all fours in his little goat costume? He's not on two legs, just like, hey, I'm in the middle of the herd here, don't shoot me.
Yeah, there was a guy who was hiking at Ben Lomond Peak, in the mountains above Ogden. That's about 40 miles north of Salt Lake City. And he looked over, and he saw this guy dressed like a goat and took some blurry pictures. They showed these to the authorities, and this guy, yeah, he's getting down on all fours. But, I mean, to a human, if you get a good look at him, you can tell, obviously, there's something not right about this. It doesn't look like a completely natural goat. You can tell it's a dude. But, if a hunter shoots a guy like that, you can't really blame the hunter. It should not be the responsibility. If a hunter has a license to shoot a goat, you can't blame a hunter for shooting a guy dressed like a goat.
I agree.
And hunters probably know that, and maybe they're just going to go shoot him for the hell of it. Because who's going to convict the hunter? You want to go goat hunting, Forrest?
Sure.
Nobody knows what this guy is up to.
You know, I got a couple new toys we need to break in anyway, don't we?
Do we? Oh! We don't talk about that on the air.
Of course not.
Speaking of mating season, what kind of toys? So the thing is, the guy who saw this fella said that occasionally he could tell this guy was in a goat costume because the guy would pull up his mask as he was like trying to navigate some of the rocks and things. But he said that it was creepy. That was his phrase. Says, you know, we were the only ones around for miles, and it was creepy to see this guy on his hands and knees in the bushes and on a steep hillside. And that is a little bit... I mean, I can understand why that would be eerie for some bizarre reason. Oh, well. Let's see what we have next. Let's get out of the country. Let's go to Canada. See what's happening up there. The wacky land of the Queen. Kid gets into a fight with a mailbox. Okay. Police saw a 15-year-old kid attacking a mailbox in full force. Somebody said he was taking LSD. Mm-hmm. Police picked him up, hauled him off. Okay. Enough said. Woman tries, and this is, St. Augustine, Florida. Here we go. Says here, a woman crossed the center line when witnesses at a tennis court reported that she had appeared to lose her grip, stumbling around the court while yelling at kids trying to play the game. And the dad of one of the girls told a deputy that that woman had been offering wine to all the kids at the community pool. And so they discovered, yes, she was intoxicated, and she'd been giving wine to all the kids. Well, I bet she was the coolest chick around, huh? The coolest mom?
Oh, yeah.
What do we have here next? Arizona. Let's see here. Police stop and search a random car in Arizona that seemed to be acting strange. They're searching it for drugs. Found nothing, but as they happened to be stopped, they smelled a very strong aroma of pot. It turns out they had stopped beside a storage shed that was jam-packed with 25 bales of marijuana, weighing more than 430 pounds. Oddly enough, the person who was pulled over, apparently, wasn't doing too much wrong, but because they happened to pull over in front of that storage shed, they smelled all the weed. That's interesting. Bad luck.
Yep.
For somebody. The guy who's growing all the weed. Here we go to Ocala, Florida. It's going to be... I just need to keep this bell right here, I have a feeling. Let's see here. It says that two sisters decided to shoplift at a Walmart. And they got so wrapped up in the shoplifting and trying to get outside successfully with their stolen goods that they apparently accidentally left their baby behind. So, of course, the cops found the baby with the diaper bag and everything else. The following day, they caught up with the sisters at a dance club. How worried were these ladies? So obviously the child has been placed in state custody, and the women are facing theft and child neglect charges.
Throw the book at him.
Yeah, exactly. Here is a story from Denver, Colorado. Giant lizard loose in Colorado. A sheriff has warned residents in a town northwest of Colorado Springs, a strong, aggressive, six-foot-tall lizard that eats small animals, including dogs and cats, is on the loose. They're saying it's at least a 25-pound Nile monitor lizard. And so this thing is apparently skulking through the weeds and vegetation. As if Colorado didn't have enough problems right now, this thing can get to be at least 9 feet, maybe even longer, as it gets older. We have pythons infesting Florida, there's a lizard on the loose in California, and there's a guy running around dressed as a goat in Utah. We're going to take a break. We're doing our best to warn you, to give you insight on, you know, what you need to be aware of and looking for as you run around this crazy country. As a matter of fact, I have a snake story for you from Florida. When we get back, I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
much in life. Don't you give it up before your time is done. It's true.
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. We are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's program, but never fear. There is much, much more to come. We're going to continue going through this storm of bizarro 2012 news through the next hour. And, of course, we're saving for the last hour of the show the material we call, well, Dark 30 material. That stuff that's outrageous, often offensive, not appropriate for children, and some of you should just turn off the radio that hour unless you want to hear some of the things that are a little bit seedy. Well, we get so many stories from Florida. You know, we've taken to ringing this mysterious bell that appeared here months ago or weeks ago. I don't know how long it's been here. When we get one, there's just so plentiful. So here's one from a place called Defuniak Springs, Florida. I've never heard of Defuniak Springs. Have you guys?
No.
Yeah,
don't know where that is. But I can imagine what it must be like there based upon this story. A 50-year-old man was having a bad night. He was trying to force his way into his ex-girlfriend's house there, and it wasn't working out. In fact, she was inside with another man. So, and the other man, he obviously was not feeling chivalrous enough to go out and defend the property that night. He's holed up inside with this other guy's woman, apparently. It says ex-girlfriend. I don't know if that was before or after this night. But anyway, the 50-year-old guy, when he finally resolved he was not going to be able to get in, he did what, in his mind, was the next most logical thing. He went into the swamps, where he apparently had quite a bit of experience, and he caught a deadly water moccasin, and took this water moccasin over to the house, somehow gained access to the inside of the other man's vehicle, and left the water moccasin inside. However, apparently, based upon what I'm reading here, when the guy got into his car and discovered the water moccasin, he was able to get out before he was bitten, and they were able to apparently prove that this other fella had left that water moccasin in there. So he was arrested. Said he lived on High Lonesome Road. Hmm. It's pretty diabolical, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Here's a story from Union City, California. A Union City man has been arrested for cemetery vandalism. That's because he was caught, this 26-year-old man, slathering tombstones with vegetable oil. And when he was confronted and asked, you know, why he was supposedly defacing these grave markers at Chapel of the Chimes Memorial Park, he told police that he bought this jug of soybean oil and used it on certain tombstones because they were evil and needed to be purified, that he was doing this to ward off the dark spirits. So the cemetery estimated that it cost about $5,000 to clean up the mess. The man was put in jail, has posted bail. I've never heard of such a thing. You know, I guess, well, for one thing, I don't believe that
tombstones hold spirits of the dead.
No, and I don't believe that soybean oil can get rid of evil spirits.
I've never heard of it used that way. I mean, but it kind of makes sense because it's going to seal things in, right? It's going to seal in the pores. And if you are envisioning a spirit to be something that can escape through, you know, porous material, maybe that's the logic, but it's very strange. Hey, listen, when we take a, we're going to take a break. When we come back, if you haven't heard, a former CIA agent has broken his silence. A lot of people in the government are not happy about this. He claims that he has something to tell the world about what happened in Roswell, New Mexico. I'll explain more when we come back. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. Don't touch that dial.